Your saints in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sister, God bless you. Nice to see you. Glad that the Lord kept you safe. Let's open our Bible, Psalm 42. Let's read what David said. Let's read three verses. Psalm 42, verse 1, 2, and verse 7. Verse 1 is, the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So he was burdened in his soul. His soul was thirsting for God. Verse 7, why? Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So there was something inside of him that wasn't yet satisfied. There was a burden in his soul. Despite all the Lord had done for David, his soul was thirsting for God. His soul was thirsting to get to a certain place. Let's also read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just to see what the Apostle Paul said about this walk that we're walking. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's read from verse 9. Very familiar scriptures. Paul speaking, he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, so he was seeking for perfection, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So Paul's speaking of a now and a then. And at some stage, friends, then has to become now. For every believer, you know, then has to become now. You can't always have it as, I'm waiting for then, I'm waiting for then, I'm waiting for then. If your child is saying, you know, Daddy, one day I'll grow up and become mature, and they're always speaking of the future, there's something wrong. At some stage, he's got to attain to maturity, to perfection. So he's saying, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. Amen. That's a powerful thought. Let's bow our heads. Father, that's all we desire, Lord. Father, we just desire to know as we are known. Your great thoughts, Father, your great eternal thoughts, your purpose, your desire for us, Father, that we may know as we are known. Father, we know in part. Father, we prophesy in part. But Father, that which is perfect has come. And Father, how we long just to walk as individuals into that place, that we can say that then has become now, that perfection has come, that when I was a child, I thought as a child, but now I've put away childish things. Oh, Father, may you help us upon this day. And Father, you said through the prophet that the only way we can get to that place is to lay in the presence of the Son. And that's how we've gathered in this place, Lord. Father, we've sung unto thee the songs of Zion. Lord, we've just, Lord, put on the garment of praise to lay aside the spirit of heaviness. Father, we've just come to this place to once again just submit ourselves to you, to yield ourselves to you, because you want to break beyond the veil once again. Want to just break into that dimension, Lord, Father, that place that you can do things for us and change us and transform us, Lord, and make us into what we're supposed to be. So help us this night, Father. Help us as we fellowship around this thought. May you bless your people. Thank you for keeping Sister Angel, Father. So good to see her. May you bless her, establish her ways, open doors, Father. Shine light upon her path. Lord, you do pray for Denzel. Thank you that he's out of hospital. We appreciate that, Lord. Father, we just look unto thee and we just pray now that the great angel, Lord, that troubled the waters, Lord, the great angel, that Father, when people would come before the prophet and they'd step into that presence, they would know that there was something there. Let the same angel visit him. Even now, Lord, we pray. Speak to his soul and Father, change the circumstances, we pray, that your name may be glorified, that you may be worshipped, Father, for the things that you have done. Bless your people, them that aren't here, them at college, in different places at work. Please watch over your people. May you help us this night, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. We just started looking on Sunday at that thought of hearing from your theophany. When the prophet says that, when the prophet, in fact, if you read that spoken word, who is this Melchizedek? When he speaks about that, he's just spoken about the eagle in the chicken yard and how the great mother eagle swooped down and gave the great cry of the eagle. And the prophet says that he heard something and something stirred inside of him. And then straight away in the next paragraph, the prophet says it's the same as you. When you heard from your theophany, he says, then you laid aside those things, the denominational things. And then you responded to him. And he says, the only way that that can happen is there's got to be something in you to respond. He says, there's got to be something eternal that can respond to him. God has to have established some representation of you in order for you to be able to respond to that. But the prophet says that you've heard from your theophany. Now, David was feeling the same way in Psalm 42, but he's putting it in another way. He's saying, I'm burdened in my soul. He says, my soul thirsteth after God. If you listen to the song of Brother Ulrich Andrews, he sings that one. When he sings about, I want to go, he says, burdened in my soul. Perfection is my goal. To walk with him in perfect harmony. And friends, that is the call that a believer has. That is the burden of every believer's life. Anybody who's really met up with Christ in this age. Any believer that has been regenerate in your soul. You've really met him in the spiritual realm. There's a burden in your soul. And there's nothing in this life can satisfy that burden. You can try to do this, you can try to do that, you can try to do the other. You can try to substitute it with whatever you want. But if you are predestinated, if you have a theophany, if you have a word body, if God spoke you when he spoke Adam in the beginning, when he said, let us make man in our image. And he created the word bodies and then he made flesh and he put Adam in flesh. The prophet says, we bypass that theophany. I'll just read it from Who is This Melchizedek, paragraph 69 and 70. He says, but you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down in here in flesh to be tempted by sin. You bypassed the theophany and became a flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet those bodies. So we're not in that realm yet. But friends, these dimensions, especially in this age that we're living in, as we get closer and closer to the end, just as much as hell, that dimension of hell, from the fifth dimension and the sixth dimension, the fifth dimension, it's opened its gates. The prophet went down and he was taken down there into the regions of the lost when he was a young man. And then he saw certain things in the regions of the lost in the 1920s, whatever age that he was. He was maybe a 12, 14-year-old boy. I can't remember his age. But he went and he saw certain things in the regions of the lost. And then in the 1960s, now he goes into J.C. Penney's store and he sees those things visible upon earth. He sees the very things that he saw in the regions of the lost. He sees them before him now. And he feels so sick and he says to his wife, please take me home. And she says, what? And he thinks inside of himself, surely, after all the Lord's done for me, I haven't died and gone to that place. But what was it? Is that dimension of the regions of the lost has opened up its mouth. And that dimension has come and is emerging of that dimension with this dimension. That's why we see the films that they're making now and the music that they're making now. The entertainment, we see the insanity that's overtaking the earth. The way women can go with pink and green and yellow hair and all this kind of thing. And the way men can tattoo themselves all over and pierce themselves and put things through their tongues and their ears and their cheeks and all of these places. Things that never happened before. It's because that dimension, that realm where the devil dwells, that satanic realm, the veil between our dimension we're living in and that dimension is becoming thinner and thinner. And hell is about to take over in the tribulation period. And Satan will obtain the entire kingdom, the prophet says, that he promised to Jesus. But just as much at that time when the enemy comes in like that, God comes down in his theophany. And that realm in which he dwells, that dimension, we see it demonstrated through the ministry of the prophet. The veil between this dimension and that dimension is getting thinner and thinner. And the prophet could go between those dimensions, we'll see. Just to show how thin that dimension and this one is. And what is the rapture? What is the body change? It's when that dimension and the dimension that we are in as believers, we come together. And then we unite together with that heavenly dimension where your theophany is. So these realms, these dimensions, they interact with one another. And that's why the prophet says, you've heard from your theophany. God came down and drew near and the anointing of the Holy Ghost created a certain atmosphere and that opened like a portal into that dimension. Just as much as when the prophet was on his bed, as we said on Sunday, and the Lord came down and said, would you like to see beyond the curtain of time? You see, God just drew near with that specific anointing and it opened a gateway into that dimension where those souls under the altar are dwelling. And then the prophet found himself now in that dimension, while yet alive in this dimension at the same time. And he wasn't permitted to stay there, just as much as Paul wasn't permitted to stay in the third heaven, because it wasn't yet time. He had to come back and tell us what it was like. He had to come and bear witness and testify of what it was like beyond the veil. But friends, that shows to a message believer what is available to a believer in this age. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard to meet him. And when hell opens its gates and enlarges its borders, like it says in the Bible, And the prophet says, thus saith the Lord, before the second coming of Christ, the entire world will go into insanity. And we see it all around us. It's insanity all around us. The dimension of insanity has encroached and has opened up over the earth. In every dimension that you look at. Remember, like I said, music, entertainment, fashions, the books that they make. There's a book, 50 Shades of Grey, or whatever it's called. It's the most popular book. None of us would ever even read a page. They say it's just filthy pornography through and through. And you find young girls and people like that reading those kind of books. And the prophet says, Satan got into Hollywood and used that vessel and came through the medium of television and the media. And Satan is bringing himself from that dimension, that anointing, from that dimension through the television, the prophet says. Through the music, he's transmitting himself, that anointing through that. Just as much as Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It wasn't just words that Jesus was saying. When he was speaking those words, it was a spirit that he was speaking. And Hollywood speaks as well. The prophet says in the voice of God in the last days, he says there's many voices in this day. He says there's the voice of God, but there's many other voices. He says, and one of the most powerful voices is the voice of Hollywood. So when God comes through the voice of the seventh angel to bring a people into a certain dimension, so hell opens its gates. Satan has his mouthpiece as well. And he's bringing, as it was in the days of Lot, he's brought the days of Sodom back on earth again within one generation. And how did he do it? Through Hollywood. He transmitted himself from that realm, the regions of the lost, where the devil and his angels are. He's transmitted himself through this medium of entertainment and so forth into the fashions, into the minds. The prophet says, polluting the minds of our young girls. That's what he says. Polluting the minds. Until girls can think of such filthy things at such a young age. What is it? Listening to those lyrics of those songs and soaking in. Just as much as we've come here today with a desire to lay in the presence of the Son. To be transformed by the renewing of the mind. You put those earphones in your ear and you listen to this modern music, which is so soaked in sexuality. Everything is just sexual, sexual innuendo in the lyrics of the music. You listen to that, you're bathing yourself. You're laying in the presence of another kind of Son. You're laying in the presence of another kind of a spirit. There's a power not of transformation there. The prophet says it's a power of deformation. It's to deform you there. And then you find the young people, their thoughts are deformed. And the video games are deforming their minds. And the natural affection of people is getting lost. You find never would have found before a student getting up in a class and stabbing a teacher to death like happened this week in England. Friends, people don't even want to be teachers in this age. It's not safe. And the prophet says it's not child delinquency. It's parent delinquency. And friends, let's tell the truth. It's government delinquency as well. It's government delinquency to allow such things. That you can't institute Bible discipline anymore. You can't. Friends, it's a serious time that you're living in. And that is why God sent Melchizedek down to us. He came down bringing that dimension down with him. That's what the seventh seal is. He's come under the dimension of the seventh seal. And friends, the message opens that dimension to us. As we're soaking in the message, as we're laying in the presence of the Son. Friends, we're fellowshipping with that dimension. And you can't fellowship with that dimension and stay the same. Something's gonna take place. Listen what the prophet says here when he speaks about in Revelation's book of symbols. He says, when was the book of Revelation ever written? He says, the first place, it was written before the foundation of the world. But John, by the Holy Spirit-filled heart. So John, because he was Holy Ghost-filled, he was a message believer in his age. In due season, God opened that dimension to him. That dimension of vision, that dimension of revelation that God had in his mind from the foundation of the earth. John heard from his theophany. John moved into a certain position at a certain time. It was the right person in the right place at the right time. And that dimension opened up to him. And John didn't see it. The prophecy is like being on a television screen. John was there. John was transported into the Lord's day. John was there and he saw the things taking place. It was substance to John. That's how real that dimension was. When John stepped into that dimension. When the voice came forth and said, come up higher. And John was caught up and he saw those things. The prophet says, John by the Holy Spirit heart, Holy Spirit filled heart, do you see? Angelic beings associate together. Angelic beings. He gets up there and there's an angel. It's a prophet angel, prophet messenger, who's showing him these things. He gets up there and this angel showing him, this is that, and come and see this, and come and see that. The prophet says, angelic beings associating together. And I would be persuaded, friends, as we come here tonight, as we yield ourselves to him, angelic beings are fellowshipping together. Not angels with wings. An angel is a messenger. We're speaking of earthly angels. We're speaking of angelic beings. But there's also the heavenly dimension. The prophet says there's angels. If God could just open your eyes tonight. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around him that feareth him. Imagine. He gives his angels charge over you to keep you in the way, lest you dash your foot upon a stone. So friends, although we can't see it, but it declares itself to us. When we start getting in the spirit, there's something that charges us inside. Something that separates us from the dimension of this age. Something that quickens us. There's a burden in our soul. There's something that keeps saying to us, just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. If you only knew what was at the end of the journey, the same as the voice spoke to the prophet. When he was getting in speaking distance of that dimension, when those two dimensions were coming together, though he was laying in his bed, he heard a voice from a supernatural place. He heard a voice from beyond the curtain of time, telling him, just keep pressing on. If only you could understand what is just beyond your last breath, the prophet said. It's a serious, serious day that we're living in. It's a great privilege. It's a great climax of the ages. That's the time that we're living in. So the prophet says angelic beings associate together. He says, oh, I hope you get that. That just dropped right down fresh. The prophet says, while he was in the pulpit, he says, and if you've got the Holy Ghost in you, then you are a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. That's why if you've never been born again, the prophet says, before you can believe in miracles, you first have to become a miracle. Amen. You can't believe in miracles. You can't believe in the supernatural until something supernatural happened to you. And then when the Holy Ghost comes in, it opens you up to that entire dimension. You now have a receiving station inside of you that you can hear from that dimension. When you just set yourself aside and you yield yourself, you hear from that dimension. And that's how the prophet says, you can then hear from your theophany. That word body, that image that God had in his mind for you, that he spoke and is waiting to meet you again one day. That voice speaks to you from there, urging you on. And that's why you're burdened in your soul, because we haven't yet attained unto that. We haven't yet reached that perfection. Even though we can look back and say, Lord, I appreciate that you did this, I appreciate that you did that. But there's still a dissatisfaction inside of us. My soul thirsteth after the living God. Because David knew there's something more. There's something that is calling me onwards. There's a certain place spiritually, a certain destiny. I've got to meet and I haven't met that destiny yet. That's why he couldn't yet be satisfied. Denominational people can be satisfied, friends, with where they are. But a message believer will never be satisfied until we attain unto perfection. Because that is the call of the believer. That is what we are predestined unto. Ephesians chapter 1, we are predestined unto the adoption of children. We're predestined unto adoption, to perfection, to placing in Christ, to a certain place that we've come into the place that now the shadow of what we are on earth is now mirroring the substance of what we are over there. So the substance and the shadow have come together and are mirroring one another. Friends, that's what a believer is called to. and no believer will ever be satisfied. And God's method of bringing us there is His anointed word. It's His Spirit and His word. It's the message of the hour. That's the very thing that God has sent to transport us from where we are, to keep moving us along in the power of transformation, to bring us to that place that God has ordained for us. And like I said, we'll never be satisfied, saints, until we get to that place. Paul wasn't satisfied. Let's go and have a look at Paul's longing after perfection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's just read it in this context. Paul became a believer, met the pillar of fire, they say, in about 36 AD, about 3 years after the death of Christ. This, he's writing in Philippians 3, is in AD 62. 26 years he's been a believer. Is Paul perfectly satisfied with his life? Is Paul sitting back and saying, I've led so many people to Christ? No, because the prophet said, what Paul preached, I preached. They're the same. And the prophet was laying in his bed that day in 1960 saying, he's already led 2 million people to Christ. And he's lying there and saying, if ever I'm going to do something for the Lord, I better start soon. Imagine, there's something still pulling him on. He hasn't yet got fully into the third pull. He hasn't received the king's sword. He hasn't seen the unveiling of the seals. There's still something pulling him on. Though he can look back to great exploits, though he can look back with great testimony to what the Lord has done for him, but there's still something inside of Paul that's not satisfied. He's still burdened in his soul because he's seeking for perfection. Because the call of a believer is unto perfection. That's why he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. He says, I haven't attained yet. I haven't got to that place. I haven't yet possessed my full inheritance. I haven't possessed the land which I'm ordained to possess. Not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after. Amen. Another way of translating that, I press on. But I press on, I follow after. I'm still pressing on. If that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. If I can just obtain that for which Christ obtained me. That He called me for a purpose, He redeemed me for a purpose. He predestinated me to fulfill a purpose. And Paul said, I'm not yet perfect, I haven't yet attained. 26 years as a believer. An apostle, a prophet, messenger. But there's still a burden inside of his soul. There's still a certain place. Something still drawing him to a certain spiritual place. Friends, when you find a believer satisfied where they are, I start to worry. You can't be satisfied. This is an eternal dimension that we're fellowshipping with. We're creatures of time down here, but we're fellowshipping with an eternal dimension. We can never, ever exhaust what God has in store for us. That's why the prophet said it's like a little mouse down there in the days of Joseph, looking at those garners of Egypt and saying, I better eat sparingly because maybe I'll run out of corn. He says, you'll never run out. Or the little fishy in the ocean saying, let me drink sparingly because I might run out of water. He says, you'll never. With this dimension that we're dealing with, this realm of revelation, this realm of communion, this realm of fellowship, and this veil is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. As we come near to the end. And it's starting to press on the believer. He says in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. So he had first priority. He had a lot of other needs. Maybe he had to make 10 sometimes to raise money like he used to do. He had to do this, that, and the other. But he says, but this one thing that I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things that are before. Amen. He's trying to reach out to apprehend a certain something that he hasn't yet apprehended. He says in verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, friends, that's a message believer. The message believer doesn't worry about this dimension of this world. Whether you have a good job or bad, that's okay. Whether you have a big house or you don't, that's not so important. Whether you have a good car or not, well, it's okay, as long as it gets me around. Whether you have the latest fashions, you have a big name in society, that means nothing to a believer. There's just one thing that you do. There's one thing that overrides all of those things in the objectives that you have in life. is that you want to press on. Because you haven't yet attained unto perfection. You haven't yet got to that place that the voice from beyond the curtain of time is calling you to. The voice continues to declare deep inside of your soul, just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. And a believer that's in fellowship and communion with that realm, that overrides when your brothers and sisters let you down. That overrides when a lot of people don't come to church on a Friday night. It's not so important to you. What's important, there's something speaking to you from a heavenly dimension. It's an individual thing, friends. It's an individual call, calling you to an individual heritage. Although we also gather together as a body. Because when you gather as a body and you bring your liquor fire and Brother Max brings his, Brother Mike brings his, it sure makes it a lot easier for us to break beyond this veil into that dimension and fellowship in that dimension where there's the power of transformation. But he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My. And then he finally gets to that place, AD 68, 6 years later, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. Paul was satisfied. He was going to lay aside the veil of mortality. And he was going to step into the robe of immortality. Put on the robe of immortality, his theophany's robe of immortality. And he knew, I finished the course. I've done that which was required of me. The commission that was delivered to me, I fulfilled my commission. I'm returning back to receive the crown, the reward of the fulfillment of my commission. And the prophet, he got beyond the curtain of time. The voice said, all that you love and all that loved you, God has given you. And the prophet says, reward for service. That's the reward for service. Friends, we can store up eternal rewards, the prophet said. Now, I just wanted to continue on a little bit here from Sunday when we saw the prophet, when he went to Mishawaka. So he goes to Mishawaka. The Lord wants him to walk with those people. There's something that he feels inside of himself that when he gets there, and there's something that those people, they feel inside of themselves when they meet the prophet, not even knowing who that man is. There's a deep that's calling to a deep. And the prophet gets up in the pulpit, then he responds to that deep and he starts to preach, and that dimension opens up. The prophet doesn't have to force anything. He hasn't got up that morning searching for a message to preach. He hasn't, you know, been using all his human instrumentality, all his human effort to make that service a success. He's just the right person at the right time in the right place. He's in the place that God wanted him to be. Therefore, that dimension comes down and opens right up to the prophet at that time because God wants to achieve something. And the man is right in the position that he's supposed to be. And that's when you'll really meet up with him. When you're in the right position at the right time, you'll find you'll always fellowship with that dimension. And then the prophet starts preaching and he doesn't know what to preach and he finds that text and then he cried and he preaches and doesn't know what happens and he finds himself out of the building and the people are screaming and crying and seeking the face of God. And then the people are coming, come and hold a revival for me, come and hold some meetings for me. Friends, he's hearing from his theophany. This is what he's supposed to be doing at this time. This is the dimension that God is confirming to him. Stay in this channel. Operate in this channel. Move in this way that you're moving. I'll be with you. I'll continue you on your road to perfection. But unfortunately, just like you and I, he listened to people who are living in the wrong realm. He listened to his mother-in-law. He listened to people that were clothed with mortality, who had no fellowship with that dimension. And he took counsel from those from his mother-in-law. And instead of listening to the voice from that supernatural place, he listened to the voice of his mother-in-law. And it took him right out of harmony with his theophany. It took him right out of that place that he was supposed to be. Though he was sincere, though his intentions were good, he didn't want to offend his mother-in-law. He finds himself in trouble with God. He finds trouble coming on his home, trouble coming in the church. And there was a deep burden in his soul because he realized things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. And he's never going to be satisfied in that kind of a condition. So eventually God teaches him the lesson and he gets to 1946. And he's so burdened in his soul. He doesn't know what these visions mean. Doesn't know what the supernatural light is that he keeps seeing, the voice that he keeps hearing. The other ministers are telling him, that's the devil, Billy. And he comes home one day at lunchtime from the public service company there, and he comes to have lunch at home. And as he gets out of the car, the whirlwind comes past. The pillar of fire goes past, and he staggers and he sits down. And the man gets out of the car and says, are you okay, Billy? And he says, I'm okay. And his wife comes out with a pitcher of water and gives him something to drink. And he says, honey, I've had it. I can't live like this anymore. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm sent here for. I'm not living in the right place. I can feel it inside of my soul. There's a burden inside of my soul. There's something that wants to express itself, but I don't have the liberty to express it. My soul is thirsting after the living God. There's a deep inside of me. There's a deep that calls to the deep. But where is this deep? What am I supposed to do? Why am I experiencing these kind of things? And he says, phone them, tell them, I'm not coming back to work this afternoon. If I'm not back in by so many days, let them put somebody else. And he takes all of his savings and he gives them to Sister Mita and says, this will look after you until I come back or until the Lord takes me. If something goes wrong, you speak to the saints at the church that look after you. And Brother Ram goes there in the woods, goes to the cabin, then he goes to the cave. And then that dimension reaches down once again. And here comes a theophany, God in a theophany, the angel of the Lord. Amen. Steps out of the pillar of fire. Amen. And says, I've come to tell you about your strange birth and your strange life that you were ordained unto such. Amen. And he says, but the ministers are telling me this, that, and the other. He says, that's just the chickens in the chicken yard. They don't understand the things of the eagle. He says, you were ordained for higher things than that. Amen. That was God. That's your purpose that you're supposed to fulfill. And then he starts to unfold the scriptures. And the prophet, having understood in part before, he's starting to understand more now. He's starting to know as he is known. He starts to realize now what his purpose and his calling and his birth and his strange life and why he can't quite fit in with these kinds of people, though he's sincere in the things that he's doing. Friends, don't you find yourself there? I find myself there. Amen. And the angel of the Lord says, go. You sent with a gift of healing to the nations of the earth. And Brahma says, but I'm poor. I mean, how are they going to listen to me? You know, my family is poor and so forth. The angel says, I'll go with you. Amen. And he says, then I'll go. Amen. And he's got back in harmony with his theophany once again. Amen. That dimension's come down and the prophet's moving in harmony now. There's something now inside of him, that burden starts to become less because he's heading towards perfection once again. He's on the road to perfection. He's on the road to attain that for which Christ attained him. It's a serious place to be. So he continues on from there. He goes out. Now, he gets out in 1947. He starts having the campaign meetings. And he starts sensing inside of himself that things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. There's great miracles taking place. He's taking people by the hand. People are being healed and things like that. Now, what has the Lord commissioned him to do? The Lord's commissioned him, said, be sincere and get the people to believe you. Then nothing will stand before your prayers, not even cancer. So the prophet's got a commission. He's got a gift. He's got an angel, the angel that's with him. Here's his commission. He's told, do the work of an evangelist. He's told that in the 1930s. He knows, I'm going to have to evangelize. Now I've been given these gifts. So he's sent out now. But the Lord doesn't tell him step by step how he's supposed to do things. So the prophet, like you and I, he's trying to find now how to walk in harmony with his theophany once again. How to use this gift. How to apply the things which the Lord has ministered into his experience. And he gets out there and he goes down to Phoenix, 1947. And he starts having the miracle lines. And he's so determined now to show the power of God and the reality of the delivering power of God that he makes a claim to the people. Bring the hardest cases. Doesn't matter how sick they are. Bring them, and I guarantee God will heal every one of them. He thinks it's a good idea. He's sincere in what he's doing. He's trying to take this prophetic gift ministered by an angel to use it for evangelism. It was never sent for that. And the prophet now is, the angel of the Lord comes down, and the prophet says, May 1947, he's in Vandalia, Illinois, and he says, the angel told me I was confining too much of the work to working miracles. And it would come to pass the people would not believe me unless there were miracles performed. And it's true, the prophet says, it got that way. So the people were just coming to see miracles. And the prophet started to sense inside of his soul, there's something wrong here. And he's trying his best. He's trying to minister to the people. He's a sincere person like you and I. But he's trying to find this harmony with the heavenly calling. And he's gone a little bit too far on this side once again. So the prophet says, Jesus never did heal people to show his power. He starts seeing it in the word. He says, and when Satan tried to get him to show it to the people, it was the temptation of the devil. When the devil came down to Jesus and said, cast yourself off in front. Look at all the crowds gathered outside the temple. Let them see who you are. Let them see that you're the Messiah. Cast yourself off. The Bible says the angels will bear you up. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil says to him, turn the stones into bread. Use the gift for that. And Jesus, because he never bypassed his theophany, his theophany was in him. He was the Word made flesh. Amen. The devil couldn't get him out of harmony with his theophany. Amen. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. But the prophet had bypassed his theophany. His theophany is trying to get him to line up with the heavenly calling, but he's sincere, he's doing his best, but he makes a mistake and he calls the miracle lines. And then he says, the angel never spoke to me for 6 months. And he says, I knew that something was wrong. And he gets to the Phoenix meetings and he calls for the miracle line. And you go and listen to those early messages. And he's saying, I hope I'm not doing something wrong today. Now God knows that I'm trying to do this for his glory. And then he starts preaching and he takes his text from Balaam. And about Balaam and the permissive will of God. When God had told Balaam perfectly, don't go with these men. And Balaam went back a second time and God says, okay, you can go. And Balaam got in trouble with God and almost lost his life. And the prophet starts preaching in Phoenix and he says, I realized I was standing in Balaam's shoes. God had told me not to do that. Had told me not to confine my ministry to miracles. He says, look at Moses. He says, Moses didn't have to throw the stick down in every meeting. He says, Moses was commissioned and he just had to throw it once before the people. And then the people were supposed to believe his word. He says, but the prophet's coming like Moses and he's throwing the stick down 30, 40 times in a meeting to get the people to believe. And the angel said, this isn't the way that you're supposed to operate. But the prophet doesn't know that. He's like you and I. He's trying to find perfection. He's trying to find harmony. He's trying to line up with his theophany. And God's going to have to teach him obedience through the things that he suffers. God's going to have to teach him a lesson here. So they bring up the prayer line, the miracle line. And they bring up a young girl who's hard of hearing. And the prophet starts praying for that person. And they go completely deaf. And the prophet doesn't know what to do. And he sends that, but next person comes up in God's word. And that person's also hard of hearing. The prophet prays and that person goes deaf as well. And then the prophet says, I felt what it was like to stand there without God. And he went from that place and he thought, God's taken his gift from me. God's taken the commission from me. And he's with Brother Baxter and he's weeping on the airplane, Brother Branham. And Brother Baxter said, no, Brother Branham, God doesn't do things like that. God's gifts and callings are without repentance. If he gives them, he never takes them away. He'll chastise you. He says, Moses smote the rock twice. Samson slept with a harlot, then could still pick up the gates of Gaza. Straight after sleeping with the harlot, he says, no, God doesn't take the gift away. You haven't lost the gift, but God's trying to teach you something. Amen. And the prophet now learns, hey, this isn't the way that the ministry should operate. And he comes from there and he says, Jesus never did heal people to show off his power. Christ did not heal all the people that came to him. He just healed certain ones. The ones that he was led to heal. So this gift that he's received, the prophet, he's not supposed to use it as an evangelistic gift. He's supposed to be like the prophets, like the God prophet Jesus. Jesus would walk right through all the sick people at the pool of Bethesda and be led of the Father to one specific man who's been there all those years, who doesn't have anything that he's going to die from, the prophet says. Go and tell that man, take up your bed. And the man, and Jesus walks all the way through the sick people out once again. Because he was in his theophany. Everything that he was doing was in harmony with the heavenly calling. He only did that which pleased the Father. But the prophets bypassed his theophany. He's commissioned, he's ordained, he's the vessel. But he's got to learn how to walk in harmony with that heavenly dimension. Is that not the same as you and I, friends? And that's why Paul could say, I haven't yet attained. I know I'm not yet lined up the way that I'm supposed to line up. There's a greater harmony I can still attain to. There's a specific place in this dimension that I'm tasting of it, but I haven't got there yet. There's a burden in my soul. Perfection is my goal. To walk with you in perfect harmony. That's what a believer desires. That's what the prophet was trying to find. How do I walk in harmony with my calling here? And it wasn't that easy. So he continues on and he says, this gift, I don't believe it was given for holding mass meetings like this. Imagine all those meetings we listen to on the tapes. It's so powerful. And the prophet is taking people by the hand and those different things. The prophet says, I wasn't supposed to use this gift like that. And he says, and because of that, all the impersonators came. The Janices and the Jambres. He says, I would take them by the left hand. Oral Roberts comes and starts taking them by the right hand and brings a big confusion in the whole realm. And now everybody's doing the same thing. Then the prophet starts saying, no, I'm not operating perfectly in the realm that I'm supposed to operate yet. Listen what he says. This gift, I don't believe, was given for holding mass meetings like this. This is the message. The children of Israel, Phoenix, 1947, November 23rd. I don't believe was given for holding mass meetings like this. I believe that I should be led of Almighty God to go wherever He would lead me from place to place. Like Jesus, the Word made flesh. That's what Jesus did. And the prophets already said, no. God is blessing this, but this is a permissive will. Listen how he continues on. He says, I don't know, but whatever. I'm trying to get these things settled down where I can find his perfect divine will. His channel to walk in and to stay there. Imagine, a man commissioned by an angel. A man with these great gifts. But he hasn't yet found that perfect channel. How to walk in that channel and to stay there. He's doing his best. Once in a while he's getting in that realm and he can feel, hey, there's something here. And then he's moving out once again. And because of his feelings of the people, the burden that he had for the sick, he moves into a permissive will. And he uses this gift in the permissive will. And I'll show it to you because he speaks the next week. Phoenix again. Experiences number one. 47, 7th of December, he starts speaking and he says, now, okay, before I'll just explain the background. He speaks about when he was given the vision to go to Finland. And he says, you know, when I went to Finland, he says, I never had to push, I never had to struggle, I never had to do anything. He says, one day I was in the train and a vision broke before me. And I saw a vision and I saw a certain place and there were evergreen trees and there were certain rocks lapping over one another. And there was a young boy that had been killed and he wasn't from here because he was wearing like braces, suspenders, and he was wearing trousers that went just down to the knee. And he says, and he was a certain type of a haircut. And then he says, and the Lord spoke to me and showed me how I must kneel and pray for that boy and he's going to receive his life. And the prophet went and said, from the east coast to the west, he says, wherever I stopped, I told people, write it in your Bibles. There's going to be a young boy raised from the dead. He died in an accident. And the people are writing it there. Then the prophet goes to Finland. He's not even thinking about that vision. He's not trying to push himself into anything. The saints say, let's take you up to Kuopio. Right up to the top where there's this view of Finland. And he goes up there with Jack Moore and the believers. And a certain man's coming down and he's going 60 miles an hour in his car. And these children are playing in the road. And the man tries to swerve one way and the children get scared and run the other way. And he turns back and he hits two children, smashes one of them right in the fender, goes under the car, in the wheel, gets flung up and into a hedge. The other boy hits straight up and into a field. And the one boy is so badly injured, he's taken to hospital. And this young boy dies right there, smashed. The prophet says, I doubt there was one bone in his body that wasn't broken. And the prophet's up there now at the top of the mountain with the believers. And he says, Jibra Jakmo, something's fixing to take place. What's happening? That dimension is drawing near. The prophet's not having to force this. He's not manufacturing this. He's just the right person in the right place at the right time. He's just where he's supposed to be. And he's in a good spiritual condition. He's sensitive to the spiritual realm. And that dimension, the veil between the dimensions starts to thin once again. And that dimension comes down, and the prophet says, I could feel it. And I told Jack Moore, something's fixing to take place. And he says, what is it? He says, I don't know what it is, Brother Jack, but he's just near. And he says, and somebody was singing a certain song called On Golgotha, and they were singing it in a minor key, the way it was so beautiful. And then he speaks of a certain man that was drunk there, and I led the man to Christ. He says, then we got in the car, we started driving down. Then we saw this great commotion down there. And we inquired, what is this? A young boy's been run over and he's died. And they've gone to collect the boy's parents from working in the fields. And Jack Moore goes over and looks at the young boy and comes back crying like a baby and says, Brother Branham, when I saw him, I just thought of my own boy. He says, you should go and see it. And Brother Branham says, I've been weeks and weeks away from home. I was thinking of Billy Paul. I didn't want to see that young boy. He says, and then something just told me, go and have a look. Hallelujah. He says, and I went and they'd covered the young man's face with a jacket. And they took the jacket off and I looked and I said, I recognize this boy. But he said, I'd forgotten the vision. He says, I didn't know, but I knew I've seen this boy somewhere. So I went to the ministers and I said, brothers, come and look at this boy's face. Was he in the prayer line last night? They said, no, he wasn't in the prayer line. And brother says, and then I started to walk. And he says, and then a hand came on my shoulder. Imagine the two dimensions have come right close together once again. And he says, and I turned around and there was nobody there. And there was this hand on my shoulder. And as I looked back towards the boy, I looked up and I saw the mountain and I saw the evergreen trees. And I saw the places of the vision. And I saw the young boy and I went and I looked at his face. And I said, Brother Jack, take your Bible. Look what's written in the back of your Bible. And they looked and they said, Brother Branham, it's exactly the vision. He says, calm the people down. Calm the people down. They wanted to take the boy's body and put it in the car and take him to the undertaker. He says, and I knelt the way that the Lord told me to kneel. And I said, you death, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And life came back in the boy. And the boy jumped to his feet and started rejoicing. And there was a great rejoicing. And the prophet says, in all of that, I never got weak. I never got weak. I never had to push myself, never had to press myself. It just took care of itself. It just opened up itself. Why? He's walking in harmony with his theophany once again. He's lined up with his calling. This is what God has raised the man to do. And the man's lined up with the North Star once again. And he can feel it in his soul. This is what God wants me to do. Now friends, that's a wonderful place to be. But it's not easy to stay in that place. Because the prophet didn't stay in that place. So he continues on. And he says, it gets to 1951 now. It's about a year after that. This is in the message, At Thy Word, New York, 28 September 1951. He speaks now and he testifies of the raising of that young boy from the dead. And he gives an example of God using the gift. And says, that's the way it's supposed to be. Then he goes on to say, now, that's the major and the real way that God wants to operate this. Now, then he speaks of his current campaign of laying hands on the people and discerning the hearts of the people. He says, now, this is just his permissive will this way. That's a stinger in the message. Because many people are seeking that. Yet the prophet said that was God's permissive will. He says the gift is never supposed to be used in an evangelistic way like that. He says the man was, he was supposed to be led to go from place to place. Like he says, the one day I just had a vision and I saw. And he says, and a man came out of a door. I was walking down a road and I saw a gate and the man came out and opened a certain door. It was a certain color. Came to the gate, opened the gate, went out. It was a doctor. He says, in the vision I walked past, we know the vision. I looked behind the gate. There was a rake lying there, a hole lying there. He says, in the vision, I opened the gate, went to the door, knocked on the door, a lady came out. And I said to the lady, is anybody sick in this house? And she said, which parish are you from? And he says, the world is my parish. He says, yes, my son is sick. Can I pray for your son? And he went inside and the tat was on the television. And then he prayed and raised the boy who was dying at that stage. And he just saw that vision. He didn't even know what it meant. Then the prophet says, one day I felt led of the Lord to go to a certain city to pray for a certain man. I went and I prayed for him. He says, and on the way from there, going to the station, the prophet wanted to go back home again. He says, I came down a certain street and I saw this man walking out of a door. And then something spoke to him in that dimension. He moved close once again because he's in harmony with this theophany once again. And he says, this is the vision. And he sees the man going on. He says, I went and looked the other side of the gate and there was the hole. And then he goes inside. You know the story. And he's too quick and he says, let me pray for the boy before every part of the vision's in its place and the boy gets worse. Then he has to sit down and wait for the Lord to bring everything back in position once again. And then when the old lady sits down and the hat is on the television, he gets up and says, thus saith the Lord, he's here now. That was a condition that had to be met for him to be there. He's now moved back into harmony once again. And then prays for that boy. And the Lord heals. And it's a great miracle. And the prophet says, that's the way that God's supposed to use this gift. That's the way that I'm supposed to be operating. He says, now this is just his permissive will this way. He says, it's just when I come here. Now let's look at how the prophet does these meetings. It's very pitiful, friends. I've read it before years ago. But listen how the prophet, what the prophet had to go through to break into that discernment before the people. He says, when I come here and I pray, and I cry, and I beg to him before coming. Because the prophet had such a feeling for the people. The prophet would say, please, Lord. He would beg. He said, I'd have to fast for days, cry and beg God. And then he says, I would beg to him before coming. Until that dimension, the angel, is laying so close to me that it forces me into it. Friends, once we're forcing something, we're not in harmony with our theophany. The moment you have to beg and you have to plead and you have to cry, that's not really the place that you're supposed to be living. We all have seasons like that of desperation. But the prophet, each time he'd have to pray and fast, he'd lose so much weight on those campaigns. And he goes on, he says, and you see the vision and then it cuts off. You see, and the prophet, you would see it in those prayer lines. He'd be speaking to somebody, get in the vision, and the vision would go from him. Then he'd say, what did I say? He couldn't remember what the vision had said. And he says, listen, but when it comes in God's perfect will, it just moves down. And sometimes I'm out for up to 2 hours. Then he sends me to different parts of the world. It's just every time perfect. Can you see the difference? One, the man sincere, trying to do his best, trying to push himself into a certain place because of the people. The other time, it's God laying his hand upon the man. It's the hand of God. Just on the hand of the Lord, I just was reading on the hand of the Lord when it speaks of Elisha and the minstrel. It says, and Elisha called for a minstrel, and the hand of the Lord came upon him.
Amen.
That's all that we need, friends. Sometimes we need the music. I came from work today. It was so busy and confusing. Got home. I had a short sleep. Got into the car. I was just saying, Lord, I'm not in harmony in my soul. I need your help. Gitana put some music on. Ha! It was so beautiful. Ha! I just said, it's like Elijah and the minstrel. You start just getting in that dimension. Everything starts quietening down once again. I didn't even understand the words. It was Brother Vitaly and Sister Honor CD singing in Lithuanian. But it was just so wonderful.
Amen.
And you just find yourself back in that place and all is well once again.
Amen.
And the hand of the Lord comes upon you. And all is well. That's all we need, friends. We don't have to imitate anything. We don't have to impersonate anything in this life. We don't have to force anything. We don't have to press ourselves into anything. We just need the hand of the Lord upon us.
Amen.
We just need to be the right people at the right place at the right time, and God's going to take care of the rest. And just be sensitive to his leadership, because God has called you for something. Just seek, just be humble to get in harmony with that spiritual dimension. That's all that the bride is called to do. Just wait upon the Lord. Lay in the presence of the Son. In Ezekiel 37, when Brother Vitalio was speaking of the valley of the dry bones, it says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me away in the spirit. Amen. Ezekiel wasn't seeking for anything that day. He just felt the Lord is near. Let me walk sensitively today. And then in due season, he's in the right place at the right time. God wants to reveal something to his prophet to put in the word. The hand of the Lord comes upon the man and raises him up and takes him like John to a certain place. And he sees the vision of the dry bones. Son of man, can these dry bones? Lord, you know. And God unfolds the whole thing to him. That's the way that it's supposed to be in the life of a believer. If you're a musician, that's how your music should unfold itself. If you're a prayer warrior, the hand of the Lord should come upon you and you get in the spirit of intercession. If you are a minister, you just wait upon the Lord and the hand of the Lord must come upon you and raise you up and reveal certain things. If you, whatever you testify to people, it's just the hand of the Lord leads you to be in the right place at the right time. And God fulfills the purpose of your calling through those things. There's nothing else that a believer has to do. We must fast to be sensitive to his leadership, to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that is in us, the prophets. Jesus had to fast and pray to stay in fellowship with the Holy Ghost that was in him. That's the same as us. But the prophet was trying to force something, press himself because of his feelings for the people, especially because he had let them down before. And he knew all those years. He said, I wasted all of those years. All of those sick people lay there when I got out of harmony with God. So he goes on to say, he says, speaking of God's perfect will, he says, but here, speaking again of the current campaign, it might cause diseases and so forth. It might see what's wrong with the people and what's going to happen. But it takes a constant pressing to go into it. And maybe you'll just drop in that and drop out. Then the prophet would have to push himself back in again and he'd see more of the vision for the person and he'd come out of it again. And then he says, and then I'd continue to speak to the person and I'd get back in it again. He says, it cuts off. You've noticed it like that. It'll go and speak for a few minutes, then drop out. If I keep talking, it'll drop in again. But when he takes me in there, I just stay there till it's over. Can you see the difference, friends? Ah, friends, I love these quotes when I read them. I said, that's what I want to be. Though someone else may preach in a certain way, I don't want to be them. I want to be myself. Though someone else may sing like that, you just be yourself. Though someone else may have a certain gift in a certain way, that's God's calling. That's them in harmony with their theophany. You get in harmony with your theophany. You have your individual calling. You just be sensitive to his leadership yourself. Don't try to press yourself into something that you're not. You'll pay a price for it. Because there's always a price to be paid for the permissive will. And you see the prophet after those meetings, he'd stagger. And he could hardly go and he didn't even know where he was. And they'd have to drive him around. And the next day he'd say, I'm so tired. It would wear him down, friends. God doesn't do that to people. We do it to ourselves. We may be sincere. We do those things ourselves. But it's like we were speaking with the saints that other day to say, when you find the burden is too heavy for you continually, God hasn't put that burden on you. Because God's burdens are light. His burdens are light. His yoke is easy and his burdens are light. He'll never put on you more than you're able to bear. But sometimes we're not in harmony with our theophany. In our sincerity, we take too much upon ourselves. We try to operate in a certain place. We don't rest enough. We don't wait upon the Lord enough. We keep pushing ourselves. You're going to come off the field like the prophet did. Because the prophet decided one day, let me pray 8 days and nights for sick people. Friends, he was a mighty man of God. He had such a feeling for the people. He made a promise saying, I'm not going to leave this place until I pray for every person. And the line started and people started going north, south, east and west, bringing all the sick. He said, after 8 days, the line was longer than it was in the beginning. He said, I used to eat my food on the platform, catching a sandwich. Sometimes when I was so tired, I couldn't continue and I'd go and get 1 or 2 hours of sleep and the sick people would be waiting for me to wake up. And he went 8 days and he couldn't come out of that dimension now. And he says, and they were driving, my wife was driving me, taking me down in the car. And he says, I couldn't get back to myself. And he said, we stopped in a certain place that I used to be as a young boy. And I said to my wife, let me just get out. And he would say that I was crying. And I went and he says, my wife came and found me laying hands on a cow and saying, just believe, sister. Amen. only believe. He had been too long. He had pressed himself too far. Friends, God doesn't do those things to us. That's us learning how to get in harmony with our theophanies. Learning how to get into a certain channel and work in the channel that God has called us to. And that's what he's seeking. He wants us to seek for. Now, he comes next, a bit later the same year, Toledo, 1951, 07, 22, life story. He says, now, he speaks about the same principle. He says, now, while we're talking about that, speaking of his life story, people say, Brother Branham doesn't have any more meetings. The prophet had stopped the meetings for a while because he knew this isn't God's perfect will, what I'm doing. He says, well, don't think that I've backstabbed or anything like that. But I'm seeking after the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Friends, I know what it's like and you know what it's like.
Amen.
You know, things are okay, but God, there's a perfect will.
Amen.
There's a perfect way. There's a perfect place you want me to be. I've tasted, I've been there on occasion. I've broken in that realm, but Lord, I want a perfect harmony. I want to find that place I can consistently stay there and walk there. That's where I want to be. And that's what your soul is thirsting for. And that's the burning desire in you. A burning desire in me to be more like thee. He continues on. He says, don't think that I'm backslidden. I'm seeking after the perfect will of God. Because there's a permissive will and a perfect will. Isn't that right? And I feel like for a long time, he's been 4 years on the field, I've kind of been in the permissive will and not in the perfect will. My, this is a prophet coming to his adoption. I'm so glad. Like Brother Vitaly said, I'm so glad the prophet put these things in the message.
Amen.
Because it helps us.
Hallelujah.
Every day.
Amen.
To realize Elijah was a man of like passions like us. He says, now there's a perfect way and a permissive way. And I feel that God, here on the platform, can show me things that have been and in my room and so forth. He's able to tell me what he wants me to do. But I feel as long as I'm all hooked up in it, I feel that he won't put his hands in it as long as I'm doing it. Can you see? So the permissive will, there's a limited blessing. There's a blessing in measure, but never the full blessing.
Amen.
And there's a price to be paid when you're operating in that realm. You pay the price yourself. It wears you down. It wears you out. Yes, God will bless it. Bram says the permissive will always work around to the glory of the perfect will. It'll always bring you to the perfect will because you'll be learning and questioning yourself and saying, but God, this isn't the way that really things should be. I'm trying my best. I'm being sincere. I'm doing all that I can. Why am I getting so worn? Why are these things not operating in a certain way like this? Once in a while, I'm tasting of something. Why can't I stay there? It's God using the permissive will to teach you the way to walk consistently in the perfect will. And that's what he's going to do with the prophet here as well as we bring it to a close. Look now when he starts getting to the stage that he walks into the vision. After that, he goes to South Africa, and we know the things that took place there. He's out of harmony with his theophany again. He's listening to mortality. The voice from the immortal realm says, Durban. Go to Durban. That was what he went to South Africa first at first. When Florence Nightingale, remember the granddaughter of Florence Nightingale came and was brought and was so thin, dying with cancer. And Brahman says, I put a fleece before the Lord, and I said, Lord, if you'll raise her up, heal her, I'll go to South Africa. And she was from Durban. And the Lord healed her. And the prophet said, I need to go to South Africa. Then the Lord came and showed him, go to Johannesburg, Sydney Jackson to hunt, and go to Durban, I'll give you the country. And the prophet gets there, starts off in perfect harmony with the heavenly realm. Johannesburg, great blessings, crowds, multitudes, Maranatha Park is full. The newspapers are reporting, the doctor, the medical association comes and gives Brother Ram the right hand of fellowship.
Amen.
Then the ministerial association get involved. Say, we're going down to Clarksdorp. Then we're going to go to Kimberley. Then we're going to go to Cape Town. Brother Ram says, but when are we going to Durban? No, we'll get there eventually. And Brother Ram, being sincere, goes to bed that night. And the angel draws near. And that dimension drops down in the room and says, I told you, Johannesburg, Durban. And Brother Ram goes and wakes up Brother Baxter and says, Brother Baxter, the Lord spoke to me, you can't take this itinerary. He says, well, it's okay, we'll tell the ministers in the morning. And it becomes a big fuss. Why? Because he's trying to walk in harmony with people that aren't in harmony with the will of God. You're going to get yourself in trouble like that, friends. He's walking with the wrong people. And then we know he goes, you read Prophet versus South Africa. It was still a blessed tour, but it was a permissive will. The prophet got sick and Billy Paul got sick and all the team got sick. And Brother Ram goes back and he's put in quarantine. And he's off the field for all those months and God doesn't speak to him for months. And he thinks he's going to die. And then God teaches him the lesson once again. What is God doing? He's teaching him the way that he teaches us. He wants this man to walk in harmony with his theophany. To get to a certain condition. Because what's waiting? Seven angels are waiting. The king's sword is waiting. The unveiling of the seals is waiting. His commission as Malachi 4, as Revelation 10, 7 is waiting for him. But God's having to teach the man. This is the process of adoption. He's tutoring him to come to a certain place that it doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter the feelings of the people in a sense. He only does what the Father leads him to do. That's what God's trying to bring him to. Bring him to that place. So he finally gets to 1954, this is December, the message, Divine Healing in Jeffersonville. Now, this is a very nice quote. He says, I'm desperately in need of prayer. This is 54, imagine. If you people would pray for me. Not for health. I'm very thankful and grateful for my good health the Lord has given me. But spiritually, I'm needing spiritual guidance. Listen how the prophet speaks in front of the people. It seems to me all the time that I'm a failure. Just something haunting at me. A burden all the time. This isn't exactly where it's supposed to be. This isn't really where the way things are supposed to be. Something haunting at me. Saying, oh, you're just such a poor excuse. The prophet says, well, that's right, but I know that. But what little I have, I want to do the best I can with what I've got. But I'm longing for more guidance of the Holy Spirit to know what to do that's right. God's trying to bring the man to the third pool. And there's a deep inside of him. He knows there's more. He knows there's a certain realm that a mortal being can walk with God in his calling. And he knows I've been there and God's blessed it in a measure. But there's a certain place that I still need to get to. I'm burdened in my soul. My soul crieth after God. It's seeking after God. He says, yet, I just can't satisfy myself somehow. Just something. I hunger for God. This is something I ought to be doing, it looks like. And I just can't get to doing it right somehow. Friends. Why? With all this man's done in the kingdom. But God's used the prophet to do already. The dead have been raised, the blind, so many, crossed eyes, all those things. And the prophet says, I'm still not perfectly doing what God wants me to do. I'm burdened in myself. I'm not satisfied. I just can't get to doing it right somehow. He says, it just seems to me like there's something else out there and I'm almost touching it somewhere. That was his adoption. That was the third pull. That's when the man comes and lines up with his theophany. And he could feel it. It's close. I can almost feel it. But I'm not quite there yet. Exactly the same as Paul, AD 64. Amen. I'm not yet made perfect. I haven't yet attained. I'm still pressing on that I may apprehend that for which Christ apprehended me. Can you see it's exactly the same as Paul? Exactly the same place the prophet was and exactly the same place that you and I get. Amen. On the road to adoption. You feel it inside of your soul. He says there's something somewhere else out there. I'm just almost touching somewhere. If only I could get to that spot, things would be fine. Oh, friends, I don't know how many times I feel that. Say, Lord, there's a certain place. And friends, what's the secret of getting there? Yield yourself. You can't force yourself there. You can't press anything with God. Submit, surrender. Be sensitive. Wait upon the Lord. He'll get us there. Amen. That's our adoption. That's our inheritance. That's why we've got a theophany there and it's crying out to us saying, you're not there yet. Keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. If you only knew what's just a little bit further down in the journey. Just keep pressing on. It says, if I could only get to that spot, then it would be fine. Then he gets to 1955. And he starts preaching on adoption for the first time. He preaches believer's portion in Christ. 1955, January in Chicago. And he says, now brethren, now he starts understanding things better. He says, now, into his church, you that's positionally is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You that's able to commune with that dimension. You that's able to fellowship with that dimension. That's the people he's speaking to. He says, be humble, brethren. Someday, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Call you out to one side somewhere, in a little cabin, or on a hillside, or in a washroom somewhere, and will anoint you for a certain service or a certain thing to do. It won't be the laying on of the hands of the presbyters or the elders. It'll be the laying on of the hands of God Almighty to put a new ministry in you. This is the first place in the message you find he speaks of new ministry. Look what he's been going through. You see, the new ministry is like a new song. It doesn't have to be new in that sense. It's fresh. It's not something that's worn. He had been through the taking people by the hand. He had been through the discernment. Remember when he had the vision and the birds came down in Sirs, is this the time? And he says they were all tattered and worn out. You see, remember those birds? And then next came the doves, and those doves were all like worn from the battles. It was time for something new to come down. It's the same ministry, but God is going to raise it into the place that God always wanted it to be. Because he had learned all the lessons that he needed while he was going through this process. And God says, the man's able to walk where I want him to walk. I'm going to take him aside. And God took him into the woods. 1959. And God put his hand upon the man. Speak. And the scrolls came into existence. And the new ministry was born. And the prophet could sense it and feel it. There's something I'm almost touching. It's not far away. But if God can just lead me to show me the way that I'm supposed to walk. He says, he'll put a new ministry in you. And he'll put a new robe on you. And set you out as an example. And all the demons out of torment will never upset you. My friends, that's adoption. And he hadn't yet got there, but he wasn't far off. Then he gets to 1958, Queen of the South, in Greensville, 5806-20. He says, now, there's a change in my ministry coming. He could feel it. He knew. There's a change in my ministry coming. You remember how it was given to me by the angel of the Lord to take my left hand, lay it on the person that was sick. Not use my own voice, it would speak out. He said, then if you will be sincere, it will come to a place that you'll know the very secrets of the heart. Then he said, and if you will continue to be sincere and humble, it'll grow greater and greater. And now, this ministry is going to step higher now into another realm. Friends, that's the realm you want to be. This is the realm of perfection. This is the realm that your theophany dwells. This is the realm that has come down under the seventh seal, and God has opened that realm to the believers. But for us to be able to walk consistently in that realm, there's a lot of training he's going to take us through. And he has been, friends. Look back in your life. Look at all the chastisement that you've got. Look at all the teaching that he's given you. Look at all the times you've made mistakes and you've reaped a whirlwind and you wonder about us being sincere. And look what happened. The same as the prophet. But can't you feel it inside of your soul? That God wants to raise you up a little bit higher. God wants to bring you to the real purpose that he called you to. It says, just be sincere and remain humble, brethren. Don't try to force something. Don't try to manufacture something. Don't do that. You'll get yourself in a permissive will. You'll start operating things and doing things like the prophet did. But it's not the perfect will. Wait for God's hand to come upon you. And he raises you up there. Don't try to manufacture nothing, he says. He says, this ministry is going to step higher now into another realm where it will be far beyond what it is now. But this ministry will never cease. This ministry will continue on. The first will continue on just the same. Because God gives gifts. He never takes gifts. Your gift remains, but if you be honest with what you've got, God will take other talents and keep pouring them on. If you just keep climbing on. He's always done it. The Lutheran age, Wesley, Pentecost, and so forth. He says there's no limit to it. Ah, friends, that's why our calling to our adoption. And now, as we come to a close, at that time, late 1955 and onwards, the prophet starts preaching the Hear Ye Him messages. All the ones about the tutor and Hear Ye Him and being clothed in the robe. What is your robe? It's your theophany. Jesus on the mount there, his theophany shone through in his adoption. When you can come in such a harmony with what God ordained you with before the foundation of the world. That's what the prophet was saying. That's the calling to perfection. That's the calling to redemption and adoption that he calls us to. I'll finish with this quote now. These are the time that he starts preaching the lamb and the dove messages. That you've got to be a lamb and follow the dove. This is the time he starts preaching the inner veil messages. We need to break beyond the veil. Because perfection is beyond the veil. There's the Shekinah. That's the time that he starts preaching all of these messages. They're so simple, the message you'll think, but they're not simple, friends. It's God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself the same. They're deep messages teaching you very deep spiritual principles. But the Pentecostals didn't want those things. They just want to say, look, I receive Christ, lay hands on me, I must speak in tongues, and then I'm there. It doesn't work like that. That's not the way that perfection and adoption works. You've got to move in harmony with your theophany. That's what you've got to be doing. So he says now, and why are people so tossed about? I'll finish with this. He says, if you ever come into Christ, my friend, ever enter into a place where the world is dead. You've got to be dead to the world. The prophet had to be dead to all the ministerial associations, had to be dead to all the things that people said about him. Had to be dead to all the opinions of his family that weren't born again. Because before he used to listen to those people and kept getting himself in trouble. Just like Abraham, the prophet was the substance of Abraham. Abraham was a shadow as well. And Abraham, the Lord says, separate yourself to your inheritance. And he takes Lot, he takes his father-in-law, his father along. And the prophet said, him just being human, that's what he did. And God never did fully bless him. Until he came in full obedience and separated himself completely. So that's one of the things that we need to be dead to the world. Dead to those influences that keep bringing us out of harmony with him. He says, into a place where the world is dead. Whether your children are this way, your mother's that way, your daddy is that way, your pastor says this, the doctor says that, you don't even hear it. You live only in the Shekinah glory. Walking and living in the presence of the King. Every day is sweet. Oh, what a place. Let my neighbors gossip. Let this, that, or the other be done. I go to church for one thing. That's to stay in his presence. I've moved in there, Lord. I never desire to leave once again. I'll trust your word, what you say. That's where I want to be. Drop the veil around me, Lord, that I can only see Jesus Christ. And live and walk and die in him. Ah, friends, that's the place the prophet got to. Amen. And that's when the Lord says, let me drop down the king's sword. Amen. Let me drop down the spoken word. Amen. Sorry, I have one more I'll read here. Samson. Hallelujah. This is what the prophet says. And where has thy strength gone, Samson? Amen. This is Los Angeles, 1959. Samson got into bad company. That's the mistake he made. And you can always remember that when you are in bad company, you are out of the will of the Lord. Amen. You just can't associate yourself with the things of the world and expect to stay spiritual and humble before the Lord. These dimensions don't mix, friends. If we want to break through into angelic visitations, break through into that realm where your theophany dwells, stay away from negativity. Stay away from Mr. Critic and Mrs. Skeptic and all those kinds of people. Separate yourself from those things. Let the veil drop behind you. Dwell in that place where you only hear him. He says, you're known by your company. There's an old saying, show me your company and I'll tell you who you are. And when the church begins to keep company with the world, then it's no more than the world. It gets out of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Gets out of the company of God and of angels and of God's heritage when it begins to flirt as Samson did. Is that not what the devil tries to do to us? Tries to get us to put our time and our attention in vain and foolish things. And those things defile us like they did with Samson. And they bring us out of that blessed place. And then we're crying out in our souls continually saying, there's a place, but I'm not in that place. I'm not satisfied inside of myself. There's a realm that I know it's there. I've tasted of it. I've seen it, but I'm not yet living there. Friends, it takes a certain kind of a walk to walk with God. It takes a certain kind of a lifestyle to live in that kind of a place. And that's what the prophet learned. Now we could go on and we'll do it again another day. But when the prophet gets so into harmony with his theophany, in he that is in you, that he goes out in the mountain and the storm comes down and the voice says, turn around, go back. He goes up the mountain. The voice says, speak, and he speaks to the storm. Then the voice says to him, would you like to take a little stroll with me? My friends. Such a harmony. That dimensions come right down where God is Melchizedek, and he comes down to the prophet and says, would you mind if we walk together this afternoon? And the prophet says, and I started to walk down there, and I said, let me go to the place. It's our wedding anniversary. I'm thinking of Sister Mida today. He says, and I got to that place and something happened and I looked at myself. And I was a young man once again. Friends. Imagine that. You're just taking a walk. And he's so in harmony with this theophany, just steps into that realm walking with God. And he looks at himself. He said, I was a young man once again. I was thinking like a young man. And I saw Mida standing there with her arms stretched out to me. He says, and I thought, well, what's going on? And I said, it's because I'm walking with him. Amen. He says, and then I came to myself and I was an old man once again. Friends. What a life. Amen. What a place to walk. Amen. Imagine God coming to you in the car and saying, would you mind if I drive with you a little bit this afternoon? I just want to spend some time with you. The way that I used to spend with Adam in Eden. Ah, friends, that's a man when he's got his adoption. But let's stand, friends. Let's sing as we come to a close. That's how we're speaking about lining up with your theophany. Can't you hear the believers sing? Can't you hear your theophany calling you? It's a sign. It's just about home time. When that starts taking place. Let's sing a song, friends, before we come to the end. You choose, bro. Anything that you want. Oh, to Jesus, I surrender.
By your stripes I have.
Before we leave and go to sleep, let's pray for Denzel. Let's pray the Lord will raise him up, do something for him. Pray for the saints that didn't make it tonight. Pray for the weekend. May the Lord's will be done. Let's just have a time before the Lord. Father, bringing ourselves humbly before thee, Lord, upon this evening, we do thank you. We do thank you for your grace. We do thank you for your mercy. We do thank you, Lord, that you've given us chance and opportunity upon this night, Father, to come and
in all these things, oh God. Bless us, Lord, even as we journey through this line, Lord. Help us, Lord, Savior. You lift us, Lord, and you equip us, Lord, Savior. Father, with the right things that we would need, Lord, for our everyday journey, Lord, Savior. We look unto thee. You be glorified, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just a couple of announcements, saints. Can we ask Brother Max if he wouldn't mind come to close for us in a word of prayer? If you pray for us, we're not going to be on Sunday. We're going to be up in Donegal. And I'm sure there's some saints who remember from way back. I think Brother Will, the saints know that we haven't had fellowship with the saints there for quite some time. So we're really trying by the grace of God to renew fellowship. So we're asking for your prayers for Sunday. We're going to be up there with Brother George Quinn and the saints. So please, really pray. I do believe it's a season, uniting time, that the little differences of the past, the little things of the past, they don't mean much once the grace of God comes down. So really pray for that. Brother Max will be taking Sunday service. Let's pray for him. Pray that the Lord will bless that. Let's pray for Denzel as well. Let's remember him, unite in prayer just for him in these days that lay before. And for the saints that weren't here tonight, I know the police were out in force on the road coming in. I'm just wondering if certain people didn't speak to the natural deacons and the deacons caught them on the way. You know, we hope not, but let's just pray for the saints. So we ask Brother Max to close for us and may God bless.
I surrender.
living the same, Lord. For you have spoken to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Oh, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. Father, from the morning up to this hour that we stand in your presence, Lord. We have seen your mercies, Lord. We've seen your grace, Lord. We've seen your protection, Lord. Amen. And above all, Lord, we have seen your loving kindness. Amen. And Father, even when we came here, Lord, we thank you we are not living the same. Amen. Father, you have admonished us, Lord. Oh, even as the psalmist said, as the heart, oh, panteth for the brook of water. Amen. So panteth, Lord, our soul also for you, God. Father, our prayer, Lord Jesus, that, Father, you help us, Lord, that we will not be satisfied, oh God, where we are, Lord. But, Lord, we will be seeking after, even as Paul said, I press on. Oh, towards that mark, Lord. Father, help us to press on, Lord Jesus. Never be relaxing, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Help us that, Lord Jesus, we will be always in harmony with our theophanies. We'll be in line with our theophany. That we'll be hearing from our theophanies, Lord. That, Father, it will lead us on to that perfection, oh God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. It has really, Lord, inspired us, Lord. It has quickened us, Lord Jesus, from our dead conditions, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. We bless you. Lord, we thank you also for our young brother, Denzel, oh God. What you have done, Lord, we say glory be to your name. And even as we, Lord, lift him before you, Lord, tonight, we know that, Lord Jesus, as the prophet said, oh, the medicals, yes, they clean the body. But the healing is in your hands, oh God. So, Father, we continually pray that, Lord, your healing will be complete in him, oh Lord. That, Father, you restore him, Lord Jesus, oh, unto that same way that, Father, you created him, oh Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you, even, Lord, we commit, Lord Jesus, oh, this coming Sunday into your hands. Oh, our pastor will be traveling to Donegal. Lord, we pray that, Lord Jesus, you pave the way for him. Father, Lord, use him mightily, oh God, that he will be a blessing upon the saints over there, oh God. And the same also, Lord Jesus, we that be left here, oh Father, we commit, Lord Jesus, the service into your hands. That once again, Lord, your visitation will be upon us, Lord. Oh, that Father, Lord, you speak to every heart, Lord. Father, once again, we say thank you, Lord. I'm so much inspired tonight, Lord, for your word, oh God. Father, help me. Help my brother. Help my sister. Help each and everyone in this church, Lord. That, Father, we don't relax, Lord, but we continue, Lord, to seek, Lord, your perfect will. Get us out, Lord Jesus, from permissive wills, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give the glory to you. We commit our musicians, Lord, into your hands. Father, let harmony, Lord, prevail, O God. Oh, restore, Lord Jesus, that presence that, oh God, when we come together, Lord, oh, it is not our songs, but Lord Jesus, your very spirit, oh God, that will come to inspire us, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you again, Lord. Father, as we live here, we are not living in your presence. We commit, Lord Jesus, our journey into your hands. Father, grant us journey mercies. And once again, Lord, whilst in our crosses, Lord, the words that we have heard from you tonight, let it be still pondering in our hearts. Let us be dedicating ourselves to them, O God. Oh, we thank you. We bless you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, once again, Lord, I thank you for my daughter. Amen. That you have granted her generosity all the way from Italy, and that she's back with us here, O God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Yes, amen and amen. Amen.